RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Highway West Vacations. Highway West invites you to connect with family, friends, and nature as you experience the beauty and adventure found in the great American West. Visit HighwayWestVacations.com to start planning your next great trip today.
And by Go RVing. To discover how affordable an RV vacation can be for your family, head on over to GoRVing.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are hitting the road for the summer season and talking about some of the ways to stay happy and healthy while getting from point A to point B.
We could all use some fresh ideas to make the journey a little bit better, so we have compiled tips for staying safe and having a bit more fun, even if you are a prisoner to your kid's 99th round of 21 questions.
You might throw on a pair of noise-canceling headphones and try to teleport to your next destination. But we know that the journey really can be part of the adventure. You are listening to episode number 146, RV Road Trip Tips 2017.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, RV Road Trips 2017, it's time for our RV News Minute, which is sponsored by our friends at Go RVing.
Have you checked out all of Go RVing's great content on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest?
Yes, I have.
You definitely have.
I spend a lot of time on their Instagram
and
account.
And we follow them on all those platforms. So on Facebook, you can catch important information about upcoming events, or you can see whatever latest blog posts are being, you know, put up by the team of bloggers on the Scenic Route. And that's usually how I find out there's a new post over on the Scenic Route, even
and
if it's ours.
Their team of bloggers there, it's like the 1927 Yankees. Okay.
Oh, boy. All right. And then on Twitter, you're going to get a lot of useful RV tips and tricks. And on Instagram, you're going to get that eye candy, those stunning images that are going to inspire your next RV adventure.
Do you know what my favorite thing is, though?
What?
It's the Away microsite. I'm sorry. I know
it's
another ad, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway.
All right. And then on Pinterest, you're going to find delicious recipes, tailgating ideas, and information about great RV destinations.
Find your Away. Go RVing. So we are introducing a new segment for the first time in a long time. So we're going to start doing a segment we're going to call RV News Minute. And we want to do it at the beginning of the show before the feature topic. And we just want to cover something of interest, something quirky, something cool, something informational from the RV industry that's broken in the news in recent weeks.
Things catch our eye all the time, but oftentimes because it doesn't fit with the topic we're doing that, you know, that week, or we have a really full plate already that week, we don't get to talk about things. And then by the time we can squeeze it in, it feels like old news.
And the industry is in an exciting place right now. RVing is booming. There's lots of cool things going on. So, and what we're going to do then is we're going to move the RV FTA news roundup to the end of the show, which is something we've been thinking about doing for a long time so that we move more quickly into the featured topics that you guys all love so much. So the new format is going to be RV News Minute. Then it's going to be our feature topic, which could be in two or three segments, right, Steph? And then the RV FTA news roundup at the end of the show. So there you have it. That's
right.
The new formula.
So now that's enough explanation.
Like
now let's
our listeners want to know.
Let's actually do the news minute.
All right. So the news minute. So it's been all the news in the RV industry for the last year that there's been major consolidation. Companies like Grand Design have been purchased. Jayco has been purchased. And you have three companies. You have two companies that control about 80% of the market. And yet with Winnebago, you have three companies that control around 90% of the market. Now, those numbers aren't exact. I'm guesstimating a little bit. And so people, you know, talk a lot about consolidation, and some people kind of complain about it a little bit. But who are those other 10% of the companies out there making RVs? there happens to be a lot of really cool, small, interesting companies that are fighting for some airspace. Now, complete disclosure, Little Guy Worldwide has been a sponsor of the Girl Camper podcast. Now, they have been in the news recently. Why, Stephanie?
Well, back in April, Go Little Guy or Little Guy Worldwide basically partnered with the manufacturer of the Parkliner, which is a fiberglass travel trailer, which was being manufactured down in North Carolina. They had an entire manufacturing facility down there. So Little Guy Worldwide partnered with the manufacturer of Parkliner. They actually developed now what is being called Liberty Outdoors.
So they've come together and created a new company. And we think they're just a fascinating company to watch because they create so many different cool smaller trailers, particularly for the tiny trailers fans. So the new company, Liberty Outdoors, they produce Little Guy Lightweight Teardrops, the MyPod, the Silver Shadow. They also do the Retro Ciro Scotty line, which is really just getting started and is going into some interesting places. And then, of course, the Parkliner, right, which is a fiberglass
camper. Which is going to be available very soon. And this is important in the RV industry because Little Guy Worldwide and now Liberty Outdoors, they have a dealer network. And this is going to be the very first fiberglass travel trailer that's going to be available through the dealer network.
An extensive dealer network. As opposed to like Casita, exactly, where you have to go and buy it, I think, in Texas from the manufacturer.
Yeah, and you have to buy it. There's no negotiating power there. You're paying in full, right? But this is going to basically put the fiberglass travel trailer into the world of dealers, which is going to mean that you can order something, you can get financing for something, and you can maybe do it at a dealer near you instead of traveling to North Carolina, say, to pick it up. So this is important for a lot of reasons. This is an interesting company. We really love what they're doing. We're going to get even more sneak peeks of what they're doing coming up very soon. Hint, hint, because girl camper Janine Pettit,
she's all over it.
Yep. Is going to be down at the factory and seeing, you know, one of the newest models that they have rolling off the factory assembly line. So we are very excited about just the potential for this company. We think it's interesting. So that's our
yeah. And for small trailer fans out there that you don't want to restore something from the 1960s, this company is making a lot of different options for you, potentially.
All right. Now, on today's episode, we wanted to return to a topic that we haven't visited in quite a while, right? We've had almost 150 episodes, so there's some things that we haven't talked about for a while. And one of those things is road trip tips, right? Like how you can be a happier camper getting from point A to point B. And today's show is going to be broken up into three different segments. We are going to help you stay safe, we are going to help you stay healthy, and we're going to help you be happy, right? And stay entertained. And those are our three segments. So stay tuned.
This is all possible. We promise.
It is. Yeah.
Maybe not every time.
Within reason.
Maybe two out of the three. Every road trip. If you get two out of three, you're good. Just leave us alone. All right. Stay tuned.
Two out of three and bad.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our featured topic, which we're breaking down into three segments for our big episode on RV road trip tips 2017. But first, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
With the 2017 Greyhawk Class C motorhome, the journey is sure to be as smooth as the destination is fun. Engineered for superior on-the-road performance and loaded with residential amenities and covered by Jayco's 2-year limited warranty, Greyhawk makes every mile enjoyable. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right. For the RV enthusiast, the road trip part is a reality. Like you have to get in the tow vehicle or get into the motorhome and you have to drive to the destination. And there can be a lot of drama. So I think part of what this episode is about is like toning down that drama and actually enjoying the ride, enjoying the experience of getting there. And some of these tips we've given in different places, but this is the first time we've really combined all of this into one episode. And I think there'll be something in this for everybody.
All right. Let's start out being a little bit of the Debbie Downers, right? And we're going to start with safety. And, you know, a lot of people, I really do think, like to kind of act like we should just be able to, hitch up, you know, or jump in that motorhome and just hit the road.
No, I think the people, life's frantic. You're busy. It's hard to get it all together. And then it can be easy to forget to do things like check your tire pressure. And I don't think it is a Debbie Downer thing to talk about safety, because personally, like when I'm towing, I'm so much more relaxed when I know that we're safe. So let's dive in with some tips for safety on your road trip. And the first one is, you know, it really does all start with tires. And we're not the only ones who think that. We are really firm believers in checking your tire pressure on every driving day. So that means checking it when you leave to go to a campground, also checking it when you come home. Now, some people might think that's crazy, but your tires can deflate while you're at the campground, right? I mean,
yeah. Sometimes we're fine and sometimes we have to add air, you know, like often enough, we have to add air after being at the campground.
And
I travel
with an air compressor. It was my grandfather's. It's 20 years old. It gets hot right quick and burns my fingers, but I still use it.
Great.
And some people think, oh, that's crazy. I'm going to go camping Friday night and check the air pressure and then check it Sunday on the way home. But I do. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I don't need to do anything. But then sometimes I really, really do. So you need to check.
Yeah. And so you also need to inspect your tires, I think, at the beginning of the season, right? Like, so if sometimes people head out on that first big road trip and they haven't been out in their RV yet, right? So you may have only done a certain amount of miles on those tires, but that doesn't matter. Age matters. Sun, you know, wear and tear matters, right? UV.
We are going to start covering the tires in the winter. And look, your tires might look okay, but if they're getting old, you might want to think about replacing them.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you can have a tire that looks decent that still gives you a blowout.
And really, that's the number one problem you hear from people on the road is the tire blowout.
Go to the gurus. Go to Walter Cannon at rvsafety.org and go to Mark Polk at RV Education 101 for all kinds of information about tires. All right?
You can also go to the RVFTA Facebook group, because people have asked what kind of tires have you gotten when you've upgraded, and people do say, oh, you know, we've been happy with these tires or that tire.
Lots of smarties on our Facebook group. I'm a big believer in treating your tow vehicle to a tune-up, even if there's like nothing wrong, particularly when I had the 2008 Chevy Silverado and it was getting a little bit older. In the spring or in the early summer, right before a long road trip, I would bring it to my mechanic and say, hey, look, I'm going to Michigan. I'm going to be driving a lot. I'm going to be towing. Can you just do a once over on the entire truck? And if you have a mechanic you trust, that can be a great experience. Now, if you don't have a mechanic you trust, that could be, you know, somebody could be saying, you need $1,000 worth of work.
Nobody's going to say that to the mechanic they don't trust, because you know what's going
to
happen.
Well, I went
They're
to kindergarten with my mechanic.
Right. And, you know, and there were times when you would call me, because we had that standing appointment before we did, you know, any major road tripping. We always had that standing appointment with the truck for him to, you know, for Tim to give it a good once over. And you would call me and you'd say,
Dave.
You know, oh, Tim's his brother. Sorry.
Tim's his older brother.
Dave.
Doesn't work in the family business.
And you would call me and you'd say, okay, well, Dave, you know, says that this isn't due to be replaced until another 10,000 miles, but he's saying maybe we should just go ahead and do it now. It looks like it could use it. And, you know, it was like, oh, I don't want to spend that $200, but we would.
Dave has handwritten notes on my truck in like a binder.
He
flips through the pages and looks at
all
the notes.
Wasn't he an English major?
He was an English major.
He's a mechanic.
Shop
good
class
notes.
As Soulcraft, right? Remember that Matthew Crawford book?
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, we really, that made me feel so secure going out with a truck that had some mileage on it and everything. And I would highly recommend, you know, doing everything you can to find a mechanic you trust and then really developing a relationship with them so your vehicle leaves in like top-notch condition every time you go out.
Yeah. Now, also, Walter Cannon, one of the great RV safety experts, like says that like the vast majority of RVers, like 75% of RVers, overload their rigs and put too much weight in it. And I think that I had been guilty of that in the past with the White Hawk, with the toy hauler. That's not an issue now. But I know, like on that trip to New Hampshire we took, when we had our only blowout, we were packing a lot of weight in the White Hawk. Mm-hmm. So you need to either weigh the rig or be very conscientious of what you're putting into it and the weights of it. I mean, I had two kayaks in the rig. I had all the bikes, and I overdid it for our ultralight. So pay attention to that. Overloading the trailer can be dangerous.
And again, this is something else that people have asked in our Facebook group and many people have answered. It is very easy to go and to get your truck and trailer weighed.
It's way easier than you think.
At the CAT scales.
Yeah, I mean, we did it, and it was like there was no stress about it at
all. We just pull, you know, you go in, you say, I'm going away. They say, drive through, you pull on, then you go in and you get your weight.
And I think that most people will be surprised. Oh my God, there's a lot of weight in the rig. Yeah. And so then you need to, like, it's not like you're going to throw stuff out of the rig at that point if you're on your way to a trip, but you know for next time, because we all kind of bring the same amount of stuff to that 1 week trip and maybe less stuff to that weekend trip.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Now that's about weight, okay, but you also need to know your true rig height, and that includes the air conditioning, right? And a lot of people say you shouldn't just take that measurement from the specs online, that you should actually get out there and measure, because you will get into situations, even though we have been careful about different
or lucky. I think that lucky is the operative word.
We got into one of those situations. It was last summer. We were leaving for a very long trip, and at the last minute we changed our route. We were going a very familiar route up to Cape Cod, and we actually changed our route because we were stopping at the Cabela's store in Connecticut, and we had never gone that way before. So what did I do? Just punched it into the Maps app on my phone, and here we are headed that way. Well, we wound up on a road where RVs were not allowed.
Well, we didn't know that.
We had
for like
no
an hour.
Clue.
And we kept going under these overpasses, like, man, that's really low.
Really low.
Like I was slowing down to like 15 miles an hour.
Yeah, like we knew that we were under the number that it was posting.
We were starting to feel suspicious. And then when the police car pulled up next to us with their lights on and started waving and screaming at us, and I rolled down the window and I'm having a conversation with the police officer at 35 miles per hour.
She was like, you gotta get off. She was so mad.
She didn't say, like, I'm going to put you in jail, but...
And I'm telling you, we did not pass one sign.
I swear to God, there was not one
because
sign.
Because if there was a sign that said no travel trailers or no trailers, I would have been like, oh my gosh, we have to get off. And I was
one
highly
sign.
Road aware.
You know, we could put the blame on them, but we should have known.
Yeah. So, okay. So that is just something that the route to just wing it... You're going to get into situations
like that.
Well,
not to just wing it, but to just blindly put your faith into your GPS. Like,
right.
Your GPS is not just not calculating or thinking about the fact that you're towing an RV.
All right,
but you need to be.
Right. So let's talk about some options. I don't believe that there's an option out there that everybody loves, but I do want to throw out some possible options for you. Okay. First of all, Garmin does make an RV GPS, and I've heard that people like it. I have never heard anybody rave about it. I think that they say sometimes it gives them some funky directions, but anytime that you have a GPS where you're going to be able to enter in your rig length and height, you may get some funky directions for some reason. So there's the Garmin RV GPS. Now, Good Sam also has a trip planning tool that a lot of our listeners really like. Carrie Cox swears by the Good Sam trip planning tool, and she always uses it to plan out her route, and that will tell you to avoid any places where they don't feel as RV safe. And you have to be a Good Sam member, though, to use the trip planning tool. You have to actually put in your membership number before going
online.
Well,
we have one of those.
Yeah. So then another option, and this is something that I can't get a good answer. So if you're out there and you have the Copilot app, please post on our Facebook group whether you like it or not. The Copilot app, in theory, does exactly what we're saying we need. It is a GPS app where you can enter the specs of your, you know, tow vehicle, your travel trailer, your motorhome, and it is supposed to take you on the right route. You can also download the route so that you can be offline, so you don't have to be using your data and everything. So theoretically, it's a good app. However, the reviews are like non-existent online. And one time when somebody asked on our Facebook group if anybody wanted to recommend it, it was like crickets. So I'm wondering, is anybody out there using the Copilot app, and is it worth the money?
Let us know. Head over to RVFJ, the group, and let us know.
Money.
We're also really becoming strong believers in having an offline version of your route. So you either download it and print it, or you have an atlas, some kind of a paper version. It's old-fashioned, but it's smart to just think through the roads you're going on. You can also go onto our Facebook group or any number of the forums and just say, hey, I'm traveling from New Jersey to Wyoming. I mean, can you recommend a route? And people will, you know, veteran RVers will certainly recommend a safe route.
They will. And I see a lot of people doing that already. And that would be an example. Like, we would tell people, oh my gosh, you're coming from the South. You're going up into New England. Do not go through the city.
If you go to one of those huge RV forums, I don't mention their names, you might get a crank. You might just be careful. Be careful. But you'll also could get some really great information for those from those forums. I won't deny it. Simply because there's just so many people on them, right? Like right. tens of thousands
yeah. so
of people.
Yeah, so know your rigs, weight, your height, and also have a solid plan for your route in advance.
I love those Delorme atlases.
Yeah.
I just totally got an evil look because I've been buying a bunch of them.
Oh, you just love it. Just you love something between two covers. That's if it's got
I'm
two covers,
English
and you can
teacher.
Open it up. You love
you
it.
You knew that. You knew that before you married me.
I did. All right. Wait. Were you an English teacher when I married you?
I was
you?
Getting an English degree.
You were working your way towards. Yeah. I think you were mowing lawns.
No,
when I married
we went
you.
On. We went on our honeymoon to Ireland. I came back, and the next day started
my
first
day
teaching
was your
job.
First teaching job. That's right.
All right. Check your roadside assistance here. Another tip. Just make sure that you have it and don't assume you have coverage that you might not have. Call your insurance company, see what is available.
Yeah, and Janine is a good example of this because she had she was using a vehicle that was her. She had insured her trailer with Progressive RV insurance.
Smart girl.
But her vehicle was still insured under her husband's business insurance.
Naughty Janine.
And so when she broke down, remember she had that breakdown, her truck wasn't covered by Progressive insurance and it wasn't included, like it didn't have towing, you know, to the nearest campground, which is what Progressive right. does, and it would take her. So, you know, things like that, you may assume that you have certain types of coverage because you have it on your car, but you need to think this through. Does your insurance cover the trailer that's behind you? Or are you going to have to disconnect, right, if something's wrong with it and drive your car
somewhere?
I always
think that insurance representatives are very pleasant to talk to.
Yeah, and I think that they'll give you a really clear answer. We've sat there and we said, okay, what about this for our personal effects inside the camper? And we travel with this. Like, we've really asked specific questions and gotten answers for that.
And that 10-minute phone call could save you a world of stress and worry. All right, the next tip, create a toolkit to override any of your electric systems on the RV. For example, you want to make sure you can get your automatic tongue jack down if it's an electric tongue jack in case you completely run out of power or the battery burns out and you have to actually unhitch on the side of the road or unhitch at a mechanics or gas station. It's very simple just to make sure you have the tools to get that down on your own.
I think that that is one of the things that catches people off guard sometimes. Look, if you travel by air, you're going to wind up at some point, if you travel all the time in an airplane, you're going to wind up stranded in an airport somewhere or whatever. Like, that's just the nature of travel, right? None of us have entirely smooth travel experiences all the time.
Another tip is just don't freak out. All of us have a problem where we're on the side of the road at some point. Don't let it ruin your whole vacation.
I think if you're traveling with kids, though, the most important thing is to think, will I be able to get to a safe place to ride out the night, right?
AKA, or to AKA wait. AKA Wendy's.
Right, and right, because you're referencing where we ended up hanging out.
Well, we spent like 5 hours at Wendy's when we had a tire blowout.
Yeah, I think we had a tire blowout in Rhode Island. Rhode Island. But, you know, you really need to think that through, because if something happens to your truck, like, it's like, what is your plan? How are you going to get somewhere to hang out while that truck is worked on? If something happens to your trailer, you know, how are you going to leave it? How is it going to get towed? It's just really good to kind of work through those scenarios so you literally don't flip out if something happens.
And know how to change a flat on your truck and on your trailer. And look, I'm an English teacher. I'm not a handyman, but I can change the tires if I need to. Now, when we had that blowout in New Hampshire, we were on the side of I-95. And I wasn't going to do that myself.
No, and I was having a complete panic attack about it. I was like, stop, because you went to...
We called roadside assistance, and I'm really, really glad that I did. But in other situations, you might just want to do it yourself and not wait a couple hours, right? I mean, and plus, if you're in the middle of nowhere on your way to Glacier National Park or something, you need to know how to change your tires. And just do, even if you don't have a flat, just practice. Like one of my friends and I, when I got that Silverado years ago, we just dropped the tire and we changed it just for like practice, just so we knew how to do it.
I don't remember that happening. What friend?
We did.
What friend? I'm wondering. I'm wondering what friend you are.
Are you doubting I have friends?
No, I'm wondering what friend you changed tires with. All right.
Camping buddy Joe. And he was the teacher in that situation.
Right.
He was like, you know what? Let's do this. I want you to see how to do it. Oh, no. And before that, I did that with your dad.
I was going to say, I had
with
a memory of you doing it out in front of
when
their
I got,
house.
No,
yeah.
I'm mixing up two different stories. We got the flat and Joe was with us.
Okay.
So he helped me change it. But I had practiced the whole thing with your dad and my brother-in-law.
Out front of the house. Yeah, got it.
Well, because it was my first pickup truck, and the idea of dropping the tire from the bottom of the truck, like, I had no idea how to use
that
system.
Right, instead of just lifting up that trunk.
Well, yeah, with a pickup truck, it can get complicated.
Exactly.
And also, with older pickup trucks, the tires can get stuck up there. Right. So before a long trip, you might want to just check. Like, I think like Chevys are kind of famous for the tires getting stuck. And we had that problem once. We had a lot of trouble dropping the tire at one point.
Yeah. And it took a guy who like worked with Chevy or something. He had like
He worked at like a Coca-Cola plant, but he was like the repair guy.
Yeah. He knew how to repair things. Yeah. And he's the one that
got it. Because the roadside guy couldn't get the tire down. Yeah. I couldn't get the
tire
down.
And he was like, all right, see ya, peace out.
Yeah. The roadside guy left.
Sorry.
And then this guy ambles over, you know, just getting a snack at the rest stop, this good soul.
Thank goodness.
And
he
was real slow and methodical, and he got out the direction book for the truck, and he got that tire down, man.
All right. Now, one thing that is a hot topic always when it's brought up, but we just want to mention it here. Really, if you haven't considered it in the past, consider driving with the propane off. I understand.
Take a deep breath.
Everybody breathe. I understand that there are going to be 3,000 people that respond to your post on a forum that tell you that they drive with the propane on and nothing's happened. Nothing happened to us for 5 years when we drove with the propane on also.
We drove with the propane on for years. We have decided, our decision, our family, to not do that anymore. Largely because we realized the food in the refrigerator will stay cold anyway.
That was all I needed to know. When enough people that I knew were veteran RVers told me, no, it acts just like the refrigerator in your home. If it's cooled down to a proper temperature and sealed. So in other words, you can't be going in and out of the refrigerator if you want it to stay cold. But if you keep it sealed, it will stay at temperature for a 12-hour trip. At that point, I lost the excuse and I said, well, then better safe than sorry.
We just didn't – we don't have a compelling reason to leave it on anymore in our opinion. So we're not saying you're not safe. You know, just it's safer in our opinion.
Right.
All right. Now, I am really – I don't like driving at night anymore when I'm towing. I'll drive at night all the time when I need to. But I don't like towing the rig at night. It's just a personal decision for me. I really like to plan our trips in such a way that I'm off the road before it gets dark. If you do have a breakdown, it can be harder to get assistance. Garages are not open. You might not be able to get a tire if you need to get a tire. Or if it's 11 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be able to get a tire if you have a blowout or something like that. Everything becomes more problematic at night, a little more concerned about your safety on the side of the road or a rest stop, and also just visibility and even getting into a campground that's unfamiliar. Like when we went to Yogi Shangri-La up in northern PA, we got in really late. It was the night of that tire blowout. I didn't know that campground at all, so it was kind of challenging navigating it and getting into our site. So it's not always avoidable, but if it is, don't drive at night.
Yeah, just try to plan it so that you avoid any of this. Again, this is safety. This is being – you can be, you know, as safe as possible in a lot of different ways, or you can pick and choose the things that you're going to
– We actually sometimes leave at 3 in the morning, which I'm fine with that because light is coming. You know, like if we're going to Cape Cod, we'll leave at 3 in the morning because we want to get past all the traffic. The other thing is know your limit in terms of how long you can and should drive. And I think that's really different for all of us. I have driven 13 or 14 hours, say from Indiana to New Jersey or from New Jersey to South Carolina. I don't prefer doing it. Our kids used to go bonkers at 7 hours. They don't anymore. They're really good last year. So I feel like we can go longer now. Mm-hmm. It's really more about them than me. But if you know that you get really tired at the 7 or 8 hour mark, don't do it.
Yeah.
Spend a night somewhere, a Walmart parking lot, or find a KOA or something where you can pull
it's
over
not
for
worth
the night.
That.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Okay. So those are all of our tips for staying just a little bit safer on our road trips this summer. Next up, we want to stay maybe just a little bit more healthy.
How about a lot more healthy?
A lot more healthy. Yeah. All right. Stay tuned.
Well, Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our big episode, RV Road Trip Tips 2017. That's a tongue twister, by the way.
You did it just fine.
Struggling getting through that. And now we're going to talk about staying healthy. I love this segment. And Stephanie, I give you all the credit in the world for kind of putting all this together. And actually, you know, we live this when we travel. But first, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And when you select a Norcold refrigerator, you are choosing a product that will provide years of trouble-free use. Those refrigerators are specifically designed to stand up to the rigors of RV travel. And Thetford also has the Norcold portable refrigerators that I would love to try out. And I've heard a lot of people say they
love to have them for one.
We should do that. So the portable refrigerators, they have different sizes. They have three different sizes. And, you know, they plug into your car charger in your car. And Girl Camper Janine was just talking to me about how she used to have one of these and she just loved it and she wants to get another one.
She just wants to grab a cold drink on her way out to Yellowstone.
Exactly. And if you're not driving with the propane on, I mean, we just use our Cabela's cooler, but if you're not driving with the propane on, then that's a great option to have a cooler right there in the car. And now with some of those chargers like in the back seat, you could even, you know, maybe have it in the back seat plugged in. So I don't know. I think that's a nice option.
I want to say this too. We had the White Hawk for 6 years with a Norcold refrigerator, zero problems.
Yeah. And so this, you know, I just think this would be good for easy access to healthy drinks and snacks. And to see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
All right, let's talk about food on road trips because it's easy to make bad unhealthy decisions on road trips because guess what? There's not many salad bars along the side of our American interstates.
Yeah.
But you have an RV kitchen. And I feel like when we stepped up to the travel trailer, because like in the pop-up, you're like, so you're not getting into your RV kitchen, right?
No.
That'd be complicated.
And it's so much more work to pack a pop-up that then the idea of then packing a whole separate food access for the road. That was very overwhelming
but
to me.
It was a revelation when we first got the White Hawk, realizing how we could utilize the kitchen on road trips to actually stop and have lunch in the RV. And pretty much we always do that now.
Oh, I actually make sandwiches like on the counter. Like just sometimes it's just as simple as peanut butter and jelly. So I don't want you to think that I'm suggesting that we need to get gourmet here on the side of the road. But what I am suggesting is that you really pay attention to the fact that you don't feel good after you eat that food from the side of the road.
I don't need to go into detail, but when we stop and get fast food, and then you got to get back in the car and drive. That's the problem. It's like you're back in the truck driving.
Yeah. You're feeling kind of like, oh, I'm hungry. I want to stop.
I have a stomach ache and I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Which is the worst possible combination when you have 5 hours of road to conquer.
And when we have a nicer, lighter, healthier lunch or dinner or breakfast, even depending on when we're driving, it is amazing how much better we all feel in the car. And honestly, I'm going to tell you that I see a behavior difference in my kids when I really pay a little better attention and make the extra effort to feed them healthy while we're in the car.
So, for instance, you'll make cold cuts, you'll make sandwiches, which it's not like we're eating figs and fruit. I mean, we're eating
figs or fruit. And
I mean,
we're having
a nice turkey sandwich on whole wheat bread instead of a cheeseburger.
So let me give some examples. So sometimes what I do is because you know how you want like some special food on vacation sometimes and you're traveling, you don't want something boring. So what I do sometimes is I go and I stock up on some of this like prepared salads from our favorite local deli, right? So like a pasta salad that like Jeremy and I might really enjoy for lunch or like you said, the cold cuts like turkey and cheese with maybe a little like horseradish spread or like something that just makes it feel like a nice sandwich and not just like I said, sometimes I do peanut butter and jelly, but it's always nice to get a little more exciting. I also have hummus for the kids with crackers. That's a big hit for them. Sometimes just a nice loaf of bread for like different dipping if we get tabbouleh or something like that. Fruit, carrots, olives. You think about it sometimes like almost like a little Mediterranean, yet maybe even figs.
I do not like olives.
No, you don't, but I do.
Okay.
So I can include them and you don't need to touch.
Do the boys eat olives?
No, but I do. So I have them on the list because
you're not allowed to like things the rest of us don't like.
I love Kalamata olives, and I think that they have a little salt to them, so you know it kind of satisfies that. But then they also have a nice healthy fat in it, so that's good for the road. So those are some ideas. Also, not everybody's going to have Aldi, but some people are going to have Aldi out there that are listening. They have really affordable individual portioned like snacks, which can be very expensive in a regular grocery store. So some of my favorites for the car from Aldi are healthier options like the peanut butter crackers.
We need to get sponsored by Aldi.
Oh gosh, I'd love
Stephanie to. Stephanie does our family grocery shopping in Aldi for like $20 every week.
I brought our grocery bill down 50%. 50% no lie by shopping at Aldi.
There's like a conspiracy going on there.
So their healthier options are like the peanut butter crackers, trail mix, and the pouches. Think about that. Like, you know, those apple pouches, those applesauce pouches
Wesley
and everything.
Goes bonkers for those.
So at least if you're feeding them a snack, you're getting some fruits in them, some vegetables, because some of them even have the fruit and vegetable mixed in together in those pouches. Another recent favorite, like, again, not everybody has Wegmans, but our listeners in along the Eastern Corridor are going to be familiar with Wegmans, which is like a higher end grocery store. And they have great prepared foods. And like, I just tried a new one there called the Tuscany Bean Salad. This is good enough to just eat with a spoon right out of it, or you could just plop it on like a little bit of a handful of greens, and it would be a delicious
lunch. That's a great idea to just
lunch.
Hit up the prepared foods aisle in your grocery store. It's still going to be less greasy, less mm-hmm. fatty, less
exactly.
bad for you.
I'm not suggesting that you
food.
Go vegan on your next, you know, unless you already are. But the point is you can go better than the rest stop option, right?
Well, let's face the facts. I mean, pretty much anything's better than fast food. I mean, there's just no debate there.
Yeah.
Almost any choice is better.
Yeah. And also, I would suggest really stocking up on fun but not sugary drinks, right?
Honest
in a
Kids.
Cooler.
Does that work for
so you?
So you
can have Honest Kids.
I love those.
Iced tea. You like your unsweetened iced tea. I like the seltzers. The boys all drink the seltzers with me. They're like the flavored.
Moroccan mint Honest yes. tea. What are those mm-hmm. seltzers you get? They're so good.
I don't know what the brand name is because they're
oh
Aldi.
My God, those are so good.
it's the flavored seltzer from Aldi.
All the kids at my school drink those. Too.
So we get they like the lime or the raspberry, and I get those, and that way they feel like they're getting a treat, but there's no sugar at all in them.
And drink water. Your last thing here is like stay hydrated. You're sitting in a car. It could be like the heat of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of air flowing necessarily when you got all the kids in the back seat and the dog in the back seat.
Well, you're not getting any circulation. So you really do need to stay hydrated. And it's this, I think what happens is it's this perfect storm. You're sitting, you kind of get a little lethargic. You kind of want to eat the whole time. You want to feed your kids snacks to keep them quiet, right? So now you want them to stay still, but you're juicing them up. You know, it's like a perfect storm. And then all of a sudden everybody's unhappy.
You always feel like you're running a snack bar.
Yeah, I do.
When you're in the pickup
totally.
Truck and we're driving somewhere.
I feel like I'm at the car hop. Like delivering
the problem is we
food.
Have three of them, and they never ask for a snack all at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just one after the other after the other. It's like my theory about the bathroom of little kids. Like when one of them goes to the bathroom, it reminds the other one that they need to go to the bathroom, and then they have to go, and then the next one has to go, right? It's just never ending.
Yeah.
I don't know if that made any sense.
Food is definitely behavior management when you're on a long car trip, I'll admit it, but I just think that we can do it in such a way that doesn't make them bonkers. And still, like I said, make sacrifices in one way by buying those individually packed snacks just to make it easier, but just do ones like the ones that have maybe a little more protein, a little more like
they're also a little easier to
mix.
Hand out and distribute too.
Yeah.
Now look, you can also actually kind of stay active on a road trip. There are some different methods, and this is one of our best tips of all time. Choose rest stops that have some room for the kids to run around, maybe an open field, and actually let everybody stretch their legs. And we used to throw out a soccer ball.
We did. When Max and Theo were little, we would throw out that ball. We kept it in the car we were driving, and they'd like chase after it. We just like do it to keep them moving. Now, you know, I actually have an app on my phone, and I don't use it all the time, but I have used it. It's called Rest Stops. And I know that it's particularly good along the Eastern Corridor, like in Virginia, Tennessee. Those states have beautiful
rest stops.
Yeah.
They are like parks.
They're gorgeous. And one of the things that's great is they have like steps that'll be like built into a hill on the side. And you could actually just like do a quick run up the steps and run down the
and
steps.
And you mentioned
you know?
Some of them have picnic tables. And sometimes instead of eating in the RV, because it can get hot, mm-hmm. right, in the summer in the RV to go back there and eat, you know, we'll just pull the food out of the RV and set it at a picnic table. And even though it slows you down a little in terms of drive time, it re-energizes everybody and it improves everyone's mood, because who wants to show up with everybody cranky?
Yeah, and that brings up the next point. I feel like you have to do something sometimes to get the kids moving after they've been sitting. It's kind of counterintuitive, but I've noticed that sometimes our kids, like, if we stop for gas, I'm like, hey guys, you want to go in with dad to use the bathroom? And they'll be like, no. And I'm like, wait, no, you have to move, right? Like, you can't give them a choice of not moving during those breaks. You have to get them going. So we, of course, like I said, throw out a ball when they were younger, but now we'll be like, hey, let's take Maggie for a walk over there on that grass and everything. So it's something that I'm trying to make sure that I really encourage at every single stop. Now, one of the things that I've realized encourages this is tracking your level of activity. It is remarkable. I got a Apple Watch for Mother's Day, which is like my favorite thing in the entire world, just because it's worked really well for me. It was exactly what I needed. You know?
You love it and you use it.
I do. And now the boys love it, because the first thing they say to me, they're like, every day they get off the bus, they're like, let me see your rings. Like, they want to see the rings. And so you set your own personal goals, and then your rings kind of show you how far you are to achieving your goal any given day. It is so amazing when you look at your rings in the car all day. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm really not moving. Wow, I'm really not. And I've used that with the boys. I'm like, oh, we better get some steps. I better like fill in my rings. And they'll do it with me for
and
that.
I think also just it stretches out a little bit, less back pain, less discomfort. And you show up at the campground a little bit more ready to go.
Yeah.
Right?
And, you know, another thing is we want to just encourage you to maybe think about ways of getting the wiggles out while you're in the car. So this is going to sound funny, but it's like that elementary school teacher in me. So there's kids will jump on board of like the funniest little activities, but you could do, you know, like you're thinking like the hokey pokey kind of a thing in the car. You can do little wrist circles and ankle circles and neck circles and stretches. And if you like guided your kids through that, say once an hour in the car, I almost guarantee that they'll do it with you and they'll think it's fun.
And it's a fun family activity. So
yeah.
You got to do that this summer. We got to do that more.
Get the wiggles out.
We're going to come back for segment three. We're going to talk about having fun. And there's so many great recommendations packed into segment three. We've got audiobooks. We've got other podcasts you might want to listen to with the family. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment three of our epic episode, RV Road Trip Tips 2017. We're going to talk about having fun on the road, but first it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Highway West Vacations, and in about 2 weeks we are leaving for the Pacific Northwest, doing a major road trip, and visiting some of the great campgrounds owned by Highway West, and we can't wait.
Highway West Vacations offers luxury accommodations throughout the western United States, from RV and tent sites to cabins, cottages, vintage trailers, and hotel room rentals. Each resort offers unique spaces and stylish amenities for all types of travelers. Come explore the great outdoors and experience a new way of vacationing as you travel the Highway West.
Okay, now the first thing you wanted to recommend was this Go RVing post that they put together. So many great resources on the Go RVing website. And it's just a compilation of games for the road. So are you going to link up to that in the show notes?
I will link up to it in the show notes. So I want to say, before diving into the specific recommendations, that we are going to avoid sort of the tech recommendations in this segment. And it's not because we're being judgy if you choose to put your kids in headphones and on a device while you're in the car. God love you. But we just have like decided that actually that doesn't really work for us and it doesn't work for our kids. Like our kids are more annoying.
Our kids drive us crazy when they have out their iPods.
Maybe we didn't like train them early enough, but most of you listeners probably remember that they got devices for the first time this past Christmas at the age of 8. Grandma got them iPods. And you know, in my mind I thought, well, maybe they're old enough now. They'll be listening to music.
No, they just ask them, can I download this? Can you put this music on? Because they can't fully manage it.
Yeah.
They don't make good decisions with it. You know, so just for us, it doesn't work. And again, it's not about being judgmental, but we just want to offer some other options.
So that's a given. You can do that and you know that. So let's talk about the other things that you can do if you, like us, find the technology just not to work for
you. Well, some of these things, like you said, they're refreshingly old-fashioned. So you found this Overdrive app, which, Stephanie, it's amazing. And I have to say, I'm going to be honest with you, I was a little cynical about this idea you had to play audiobooks in the car for the boys.
Our boys are riveted when I play their audiobooks.
They are. Mm-hmm. All three of Wesley, mm-hmm. too. And they ask questions. They follow the story better than I do. Like they,
yeah, you kind of like tune
out. I thought they were zoning out, but then 20 minutes in, they'll ask some elaborate, complicated question about a plot point. And I'm like, oh my God, they have been listening to every word of the story.
Yeah. So let me back up. The Overdrive app is an app that is linked to many public libraries throughout the country. So there are so many public libraries that use Overdrive. So I would highly recommend going and seeing if your local county library is on Overdrive. Ours is. So what happens is you download the Overdrive app, you set up an account using your library number. So I have my library card and I enter in my number and it finds my account. And then I can sort through both their ebook and their audiobook collection. So this is also for ebooks too. So I rent ebooks sometimes when I'm out on the road and we're traveling. I can
go
on.
And the selection's excellent.
Right, especially for kids. I find that for adults, any of the books I search for always have a wait on them and I always have to put on a hold. But that's okay. You can put a hold on it and then you'll get an email all of a sudden, an alert, and it'll say, oh, the book's available now. Like a couple weeks later, you're like, okay. So it works really well that way. But for the kids, there's such a great selection. So for example, last summer they were obsessed with Magic Treehouse and Junie B. Jones books. We had an endless supply of those through the Overdrive app, and I could just play them. And a Magic Treehouse book took about, I would say, an hour to an hour and 20 minutes, really, only to listen to, which was almost the perfect amount of time for them to listen to.
And now they've fallen in love with this I Survived series, which I think is so cool, too, because it gives them a history lesson. And there was one of those I Survived books about Mount St. Helens that Barnes & Noble didn't have it. But you got it on the Overdrive app.
And we listened to it. I think we were coming back from Cabela's one day. And we listened
and
to the entire
length.
It was the exact length of the drive. And they listened to the
and
whole book.
I
it was
like,
awesome.
I like using this so much better than popping on a movie for them because I can't watch the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm just hearing the noise of it and not seeing it. And I feel disconnected. And it just feels like noise to me. Or even if it's a kid's book like the I Survived series, I can listen to it and enjoy it.
Yeah. And I'd also suggest maybe thinking about looking for some of those classics that you never got around to reading out loud to your kids, you know, but they might like to listen to. Like I was thinking of Charlotte's Web, the Anna Green Gables series, Little House on the Prairie, Hardy
Boys,
Nancy
Drew. Well, we should
do Hardy
Boys because they've really liked the Hardy Boys recently.
So you can play any of those on the Overdrive. And it's amazing. And I know other people in our group were saying that they were using it and really finding that their kids loved it. So two thumbs up on that. Now,
podcasts.
Let's go into podcasts because you guys are podcast listeners.
You're podcast listeners, clearly. And we know that podcast listeners listen to lots of podcasts. And there's probably very few of you who just listen to our podcast. By the way, I love when people tell us that they listen to our podcast on the way to the campground. It makes me so happy. But you might need some other options. And not all of your kids love RVFTA.
Or you're all caught up. That's okay.
You're all caught up. You've listened to them all twice. So we found some really great podcasts for kids. So let's start with little kids.
Okay, right. So I kind of separated into what I said littles, middles, and the grown-ups. So littles, I'm thinking of, you know, little, like between 2 and maybe 6 or 7, like that. And then 8 and up, I would say, through the teenage years for middles, maybe more like 9 and up. And then the grown-ups, obviously, for all of our choices for grown-ups, we are saying these are podcasts that you can listen to with your kids in the car, but the content is going to be more interesting to you than it is to your kids. Probably. Okay. So let's start with the littles. What we were doing is basically looking for some great story podcasts and definitely found some.
The Disney Story Central podcast, very highly produced, good music, everything you'd expect
like
of Disney.
Princess stories. Yeah.
Yeah. And the boys, maybe like a
but
couple
Wesley
of them did.
Liked
I know, but a couple of them didn't click with the boys for that reason. But definitely for girls and maybe for the
and
guys
the little,
too.
Little. Like the little, Wesley liked to listen to it. It's just his older brother's Rain on His Parade with things like that. Okay. Then there's also the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian. This is a very popular podcast.
This is maybe the most popular podcast.
And it's science fiction for kids. So it's science fiction stories if your kids like that. Then there's also TED Talks. And there's TED Talks : Kids and Family. So it's a whole segment of TED Talks that are directly for kids and families to listen to. And just like TED Talks for adults, you can basically look for every topic imaginable.
And I'm not making my kids sound like they're little geniuses, but Max and Theo kind of like stuff like this.
They do. They very much like.
If they can hook into the topic and we're willing to answer some questions, it can go really well.
Well, and speaking of that, the next one, But Why, is a good one for kids like Max and Theo that are interested in a topic, like in of kind of, you know, exploring like more of a science topic or something. So But Why is basically people answering letters that kids write in, and they'll say like, this
and
is
they
from.
And they get an expert. They get a scientist. Mm-hmm. They get a dentist. They get whoever it might
right.
be.
So it might be, why does my skin get wrinkly when I'm in the bathtub? And you know, just things like
and
that.
And that's a great example of one that's totally interesting for the adults in the car too. You know, obviously depending on your family, but for us, like we can listen to that and I'm enjoying it and the boys
you're
enjoy
not wanting
it too.
To rip your hair
no,
out.
No, but then that's one that though Wesley's sort of like la-di-da on.
Yeah,
you know?
He's not going to engage in that. That's a little
I
bit
I might
on
push
the older
that
side.
One into the middles category.
Well, I don't know because I think a lot of the kids that write in are 5 and 6, you know, because it says like the name of the kid that's writing the letter. So I don't know. It's a little bit.
And it's interactive, which is fun. Yeah. So how about the middles?
And then there's the Story Pirates podcast,
oh,
which
that's
is
right.
another,
that's another real popular
right,
one.
Right. Read aloud stories. So you might want, okay, middles. Now, if your kids like trivia, this is actually recommended to me by another adult that I was talking to. It's called Good Job Brain. And it's really this funny, it's basically a group of three people that basically play like an old-fashioned trivia game, you know, throughout an entire episode. It's like a quiz show.
Max and Theo love trivia.
Yeah.
They do.
So this is like a quiz show. So if you're the kind of people that like the quiz shows, that like to do trivia on certain topics, the show has different segments and...
Somewhat of a non sequitur, but I'm excited. I just got a National Parks trivia game to use with the boys, an old-fashioned like Trivial Pursuit, like cards game. So we'll review that.
Oh, they wanted to bring one of those
yet.
Card games into the
we'll
car.
We'll review it at some point soon.
There was some...
The National Parks one.
Is that the one they wanted to bring
Absolutely.
Into the car?
It's in the truck right now.
Okay, now another one for middles. It's called The First. And this, again, might be more of the preteen, tween kind of segment and older. But The First is just about like something, the first time something happened. So like the topic might be the first World's Fair or, you know, just things like
that. And that's
that.
So in line with kids thinking. Like adults don't, we stop thinking that way. Like, oh, how did this start? Or when was the first person? Kids always want to know, like, who was the first person to do this? When was the first baseball game, right?
Yeah.
Whatever
and
it might
it's
be.
It's history, very history. Oriented. So if you have kids that are, you know, a lot of podcasts, if their kids are science oriented, there's ones for them. If they're history oriented, there's ones for them, you know, so you kind of want to find your niche. Science Friday is one that I hear a lot. A lot of parents can get their, you know, teens, tweens into Science Friday has been around for a long time. And that's a fantastic show.
And look, I'm a teacher. You have an education background. There's a part of me that loves the fact that this keeps the learning going on in the summer. I hate the idea of the kids sort of turning their brains off for the summer. To me, the summer should be a really engaging time to be learning. So this is like having class in the car, but with the best teacher you've ever had.
Now, there's also Remarkable Lives, Tragic Deaths. And again, this is like the biography, right? If you're the person that watches the A&E Biography Channel and gets sucked into that or your kids do, that's a great option for you. Drama filled. Now,
let's
talk about the controversial one.
The presidents are people too. So we were all excited to try this one, and we put one in, and like the first 10 minutes were awesome. Like the kids were into it.
It was about George Washington.
The kids weren't in the car. You and I tried it. The boys were not in the car, right? You're looking at me.
I thought that they were.
No, I thought we tested this on our own.
All right.
Maybe they were. I don't remember. But either way, we get 10 minutes in and I'm like, oh my God, this is an awesome podcast. Max and Theo love the presidents. This was quirky. It was fun. It was well produced. And then they dropped some curses. And it was a total shocker. Like
light cursing.
Medium cursing.
But it was shot. Like we were both like,
but
oh.
It was like, why are you doing the whole
because
tone
it made
of the
no
show?
Because
the tone of the show is so kid friendly and so quirky.
Yeah.
You know, it's got like this kind of like that little bit of that This American Life, Sarah Vowell kind of quirky feel to it, but it really felt like I thought the podcast was made for kids, but then they start cursing and I'm like,
they don't start cursing. It's just like a few curses.
It's not like Eddie Murphy Raw, but we decided we wouldn't play this for them.
Right. So here's what I wanted, but our boys
are now they
eight.
Watch that movie, The Sandlot, that has a couple bad words in it.
All right. So, but they're eight. So my point being is that if you are parents that aren't like totally offended by a couple of like minor curses,
or if you're the type of parents that use those minor curses,
I mean the ones that use them, right, for your teens or something, then this podcast is totally okay. But we just want to make sure that you know this before putting it on in the car with your 5-year-old.
And if you have a potty mouth, we don't judge you.
It can be therapeutic.
Some people say that Stephanie and I have potty mouths. We just don't do it on the podcast.
All right. So now let's move on to the shows that grownups can listen to. Sometimes it's our turn and we say that to the boys. We want to listen to certain things. This is more adult-oriented content, but it's appropriate with kids in the car. Now, I want to clarify that by saying some of these shows, I always look for the E, you know, the explicit, like, because there's some series of shows that have certain episodes that may not be appropriate.
Come up, or it's not necessarily curse words, but it's a topic that could lead to uncomfortable questions.
Yeah. Now, I've mentioned in the past, Wait, Don't Tell Me is
that's
a favorite.
That's like Stephanie's favorite.
Because it's just like a fun, you know, like kind of news
and Max
comedy
and Theo
show.
Really like it.
They love
they
it.
They ask questions.
So it's a good mix. They don't really understand. A lot of stuff goes over their head, but I enjoy it. So it's a nice way to pass an hour when we're in the car. Another one is Radiolab. And this is one of the ones you're going to have to look for appropriate topics, but Radiolab is so interesting and has such great
episodes.
And I'd
say for teens, all of these are like totally
absolutely.
Good to go, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
99% Invisible. He doesn't always put out episodes regularly, but
there's
people,
like 500 in the past. So you can always find one to listen to. And if I need, a lot of them are like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So if I have a quick chore to do around the house that I like don't want to do, like folding laundry, if I put on a 99% Invisible episode, it takes me through the chore. And the same way is true in the car. It's really a nice way to pass the time. Now,
Open for Business, yeah. We've both loved. It's one of the Gimlet podcasts, and it's sponsored by eBay. It's actually like a content marketing thing for eBay, but it's a lot more content
it's
than
good
marketing.
Content. So if you're interested in business
advice, yeah. Starting advice, interviews with really, you know, high end people in the world of business, all kinds
like
of nitty gritty, dirty lessons on
the
start
creator
running a business.
Spanx, you know, or
exactly
interesting stuff
as
like that.
As all the Gimlet podcasts are very well produced, and I think that, like for teens, particularly a teen with an entrepreneurial bent, mm-hmm. they would love Open for Business.
Yeah, I agree. So then also if you're a foodie, I wanted to recommend Splendid Table, which is an oldie but goodie. It's always good. And it's nice to listen to food podcasts when your kids are in the car, right? There's nothing controversial there. America's Test Kitchen for the, you know, food nerds out there. That's a really fun food podcast. And another fun food podcast that your kids will probably enjoy is Burnt Toast. And this is just one of those food podcasts that's all over the map. And it really just – sometimes it'll be on a particular food type. Sometimes it'll be on a tradition, but it's just a fun podcast. All right. I have one more very funny recommendation, a little gem I stumbled across. It's not even that many episodes. I think it maybe tops out at 7 or 8 episodes altogether, but you can listen to it with the kids in the car. It's called Making Oprah, and it was out of WBZB Chicago, I think they made it, and it is just – a fascinating podcast. I loved it.
Origin story?
No. It was the story of the show. Yeah, it like took you through the history of basically this talk show that ended up changing, you know, the American TV landscape in a lot of ways.
So there's a lot to learn there about media and culture.
Yeah, so fascinating. Loved it. It's just a great. It's just to me, it's always podcasts are always a way of learning something you didn't know. It's like, oh, that was interesting, and I loved that one. So if you want a way to pass quite a few hours, it's one of those ones you can binge on, which is good.
And we'll start a thread on RVFTA, the group, and ask for other favorite podcasts, which I don't think we've done yet in our Facebook group. And we'll get some recommendations there. So make sure you join and head on over. Stay tuned. We're going to come back with our RVFTA news roundup. Wow. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our three segments on our RV road trip tips 2017. Now it's time to talk about some RV FTA news, and there's a couple big things, okay? We were just at Family Adventure Day at Cabela's. We had a great time. We really enjoyed meeting all the podcast listeners that showed up. Thank you so much for coming and saying hello and even having lunch with us and just hanging out.
Now, if you didn't get to check it out this time, I really want to encourage you next year when we start talking about it, think about putting it on your calendar, because this was the first time that we experienced the event, and it really was kid-friendly. Like, the boys were entertained.
They held alligators. They did archery. They shot BB guns. They had a good time.
For the first time ever, they shot BB guns. And Max said to me, can you buy these things?
Well, you might. But here's the deal. I'm going to buy an archery set for the family. I've decided. I talked to the people at Cabela's. They recommended, like, I think it's called Genesis archery set. Because I said, what's a good archery set that Stephanie and I could use and the boys could use? Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, oh, this is the one you want. And it was actually the one they were letting people use. So I think it was around $200. I didn't buy it last week, but I'm going to buy it because we have a local campground we love that has a free archery range. So I really do think that I'll do archery with the boys. We all have really fallen in love.
I love it. It's so much fun. Like, it's just such a great way to pass the time. So and our boys are very, it's like that competitive thing. And it is like they're competing against themselves.
Great,
like
hand-eye
that.
Coordination. Exactly. I think it's also kind of one of those hobbies that's relaxing.
Focused.
Too, very focused.
All right. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. Thanks to the people that stopped by and said hi. And I really am looking forward now. I'll be like, oh, next year, I think that the boys will really be looking forward to going, because it was really kid-friendly, plenty to do. For all of them.
Well, absolutely. It was their favorite out of all the different days we did with Cabela's recently.
Now, another important thing for us to tell you about is that Father's Day is just around the corner. If you're listening to this and we're releasing it, it's this Sunday. And Jeremy is going to be flying down to Atlanta to do a satellite media tour on fatherhood and RVing. So
back on TV. I never thought I'd say that in my life.
So they're going to be taping these segments on fatherhood and RVing for different television syndicates around the country. So you may or may not be in a market where all of a sudden Jeremy's going
to
pop up
onto
the screen.
I might be able to post that on our social media soon. But I'll be doing it with Keith Sims from Soulful RV Family, and the two of us are just going to be chatting about making great memories with our kids and our RVs. And it's my second satellite media tour. You know, I never thought I'd end up doing television.
And this time you're on your own, baby. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
not
you
there
know,
to,
it was
to
funny stuff.
Put
I gotta
you,
tell you,
make
you
sure
know,
you're in the right shirt.
Last year, we had never done this, and we did a media tour. We did 23 television shows. And I was nervous because we'd never done it before. But now that we've done it and we're working with the same people, I'm just excited.
Yeah.
I'm really actually excited to do it. I don't really have nerves about it at all. And I was just in communication with somebody today about it. And we have 21 television shows booked. Several will be live Friday morning, but then other ones will be Saturday morning, Sunday morning, leading up to Father's Day.
Yeah. So keep your eyes peeled to the TV that weekend. If you're watching those morning shows, he might pop up on your screen. And yes, that's actually Jeremy. So happy Father's Day, honey.
Thanks.
And happy Father's Day to all you out there.
Yeah,
hope
definitely.
You have a great one. If you need a way to celebrate, remember we did lots of great Father's Day content last week. We put out the guide to Father's Day gifts on the Girl Camper podcast.
Also, it's our syndicated column. You could find that at Jayco, Camp Jellystone, mm-hmm. other places that carry our syndicated column.
And
five great Father's Day gifts.
We did our Craft Beer 101 episode, a great episode. Maybe if you want to think about buying some beers or taking your dad to a brewery for Father's Day. And then we also did Campground of the Week. You and Keith talked about Unicoi Springs in Georgia, which was a father-son trip they took. So that was the whole theme
and,
last
week. I tell the boys over and over again, because my grandfather taught me that if something's important to you, you should say it a lot, even if the kids roll their eyes. You know, I tell them all the time my favorite thing to do in the world is to go camping with them and with you. And it's true. There's nothing I would rather do than go on an RV trip with my boys and my Stephanie.
All right, so let's keep doing it. All right, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.